coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and JC. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption, when it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com, and remember, the party starts at Rupers.
Sarah, did you hear that the Festival of Trees is fast approaching?
It's my favorite time of year.
It's your favorite time.
I love it. I love it.
Well, we are joined in studio today by a couple of Cora Shriners, Bernie McAllister. How you doing, Bernie?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Back again this year.
Oh, we love having you back. Yeah. Randy Williams makes his triumphant return to the podcast. How you doing, Randy?
2 years in a row.
Yes.
All right.
Welcome back. And for the first time, we are joined by Dr. Rebecca Brakely, Chief of Pediatrics at Central Maine Medical Center. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking all about the Festival of Trees, the Central Maine Medical Center connection, and the Shriners Clinics, and a whole lot more. We have a lot of show for you today. So we'll get to all of that in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, November 18th.
The Sun Journal reports that the city of Lewiston is acquiring a 7-acre athletic field complex near the former Holy Cross School. Last month, the city council unanimously approved the purchase of 20 Martin Drive from the Catholic Diocese of Portland for $210,000. The city will retain the property for recreation.
Maine State Representative Laura Libby of Auburn announced that she will not seek re-election next year. Instead, she plans to build a network dedicated to supporting Senator Susan Collins' re-election effort. Libby is a 3-term lawmaker. Her current term ends on December 1st, 2026.
The Bureau of Motor Vehicles has launched a new online service for Maine residents to renew their Real ID. Within the next year, approximately 70,000 Mainers' Real ID will be up for renewal. Residents getting their first Real ID will still have to go to the BMV in person to present the required documents.
And a reminder that the City of Auburn's Hilton Holiday Hangout is today from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn Riverwatch. Shop with local vendors, enjoy live music and holiday cheer. Admission is free. Now it's time for the weather.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Oh, yeah, you can't even hear the jingle. Not only did we run out of microphones, we ran out of headphones as well.
I still got to do the weather. I can't even.
So JC couldn't hear her cue to come in. Here it is. Here's your cue.
All right. Sunshine throughout the day today. We'll have a high of 41 and a low of 30. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 42 and a low of 27. And cloudy on Thursday with highs in the low of 40s.
In sports, the Bruins lost to the Carolina Hurricanes 3-1. Boston will visit the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night.
The Celtics visit the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7:30.
How about that CMCC men's soccer team?
Not bad.
Matty Waters scored a pair of goals, and Cody Cleveland stopped 6 shots to lead Central Maine Community College over Cincinnati Claremont 2-0. The win capped an undefeated season for the Mustangs and secured back-to-back USCAA Division II national championships.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Awesome.
It's really cool. The Lewiston Maniacs beat the Connecticut Chiefs 4-3 for their 9th straight win. Lewiston will host Universal Academy this weekend at the Colisée.
And the NA3 Nordiques visit the New Jersey Titans today and tomorrow at 3 p.m. That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
Famous, it's the birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
let's take a look at FPBs for November the 18th, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to start off with Red Sox legend David Ortiz, mm-hmm. who is 50 years old today.
What do we call him?
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
Big Poppy. Captain Clutch. Owen Wilson is 57 years old today.
He's got a real weird voice.
He does.
Right? It's not just me. He's got a real weird voice. I don't know.
What's everyone remember Owen Wilson from? Night at the Museum?
Night at the Museum. Probably Grand Budapest.
Grand
Hotel.
Budapest.
Wes Anderson. Any of the Wes Anderson movies that he's been in.
Yep.
The Royal Tannenbaums. That was a good one.
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, yes.
That one too.
Yeah.
He's done a bunch of stuff. A lot of voice work, too.
Mm-hmm.
For someone,
oh, yeah.
For someone with a weird voice.
Lightning McQueen.
Right?
Yes. That's the favorite in my house, for sure.
Yeah. He just sounds to me like he's talking through a glass of water. I don't know.
Wow.
Why.
That's probably why he's a voice actor now.
Maybe.
Yeah. He's unique.
He is unique, yeah. Yes.
Guitarist Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 63 years old today. He joined Metallica in 1983 and has been with them ever since, and he's always near the top of the list on the greatest metal guitarists of all time.
Hmm.
Actor Oscar Nunez, 67 years old today. You know him as Oscar from The Office.
I love him.
He's also done some bit parts in Comedy Central shows, including Reno 911.
Oh.
And rounding out FPBs for November the 18th is comedian Kevin Nealon.
Legend.
72 years old today. He was on Saturday Night Live from 86 to 95, and he anchored the show's news parody, Weekend Update. And after leaving SNL, he acted in several of the Happy Madison films and provides the voice of the title character on Glenn Martin DDS.
Oh.
There you go. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
And we'd like to thank Bernie McAllister for providing the lead vocals to that that little jingle right there.
I practiced it all day yesterday.
You I'm glad are, man. We're so appreciative of your talents.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? One of many.
There's not a lot of fun in today's on this day.
That's all right.
Oh, no. We have to make the fun.
We'll make the fun. 33 years ago in 1992, Malcolm X was released starring Denzel Washington. It was directed by Spike Lee. 37 years ago, in 1988, Ronald Reagan created the cabinet position of drug czar and signed a law allowing the death penalty for drug traffickers who kill.
Wow.
I know. 47 years ago, in 1978, the Reverend Jim Jones persuaded 900 of his followers to take their lives in Jonestown in the jungles of Guyana. Is that how you say that? Guyana?
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 Guyana.
Yeah. They drank the Kool-Aid. It was not good. And then, this is great. 97 years ago in 1928, Steamboat Willie premiered, starring Mickey Mouse, which is why today is considered his official birthday. Oh. All right. Walt Disney originally called the character Mortimer, but his wife thought the name was too stuffy. So she told Walt to change it to Mickey Mouse. Genius.
She did a good job.
She did, yeah. That was a smart change.
Made some serious money.
Yeah,
they did, yeah.
Mortimer Mouse just doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
Yeah.
No. Morty Mouse.
You did skip over a couple that aren't too morbid.
I did?
20 years ago, in 2005, the movie Walk the Line premiered, starring Joaquin Phoenix as Johnny Cash and Reese Witherspoon as June Carter Cash.
That's true.
And 25 years ago, in the year 2000, Michael Douglas married Catherine Zeta-Jones. He's older than her father. That matters to anyone. There you go. Those are your FPBs and OTDs for November the 18th.
Yeah, that's what that is.
What's that?
She said love finds a way. So yeah, that's what that is.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. In public places, keep your hand over your beverage when not drinking. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now we shift focus fully to our guests in studio, Rebecca, Bernie, and Randy. And I guess let's start off, Bernie, with the Festival of Trees.
Sure.
what it's all about? Because, I mean, there may be some people who aren't familiar with it. I don't know what they're doing living in this area.
Yeah, where? Who? Under a rock?
If they live local, they certainly probably are familiar with the Festival Tree. This is our 20th annual this year. So 2005 we started, and now this is our 20th anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
We've actually set up some displays inside of the hall this year to actually commemorate our 20th year and a kind of a look back of what's been like. So one of the things we discovered is that the first year all we had was like a, I'd say like a 2x2 or a 2x3 ad in the local paper that there's going to be this Festival of Trees at Core Shrine. Here we are 20 years later and average of about 30,000 people come in course of the week. So people used to say, hey, we get excited if somebody came up the stairs.
Yeah.
It's not a problem like that anymore.
And now it's like, we can't see the stairs.
Yeah, and more importantly, you can't get in unless you have a ticket ahead of time.
Yeah. Wow. You guys really streamlined it after 2020. Yeah. I know the pandemic was terrible and it ruined a lot of things, but I think it really forced you guys into a very lean way of doing it. Right. And it's super successful since.
And I think it's not only a lean way of doing it, but it's much more opportunity for people to actually have a great time.
Yeah.
Part of going to the festival is we hear us all the time. It's a tradition. It's something we've done forever. We brought our kids there since they were infants and have had pitches and so it gives them that opportunity to maintain that ability to come and have a great time and not feel like I got to be in a line with 200 other people who are all going in the same direction or maybe not.
Actually going in the opposite direction.
Yeah. So it's that's the kind of event that we have. We do still say that it's the premier festival event in the state of Maine. Yeah. There are many who have copied this event, as we all know, but it's just not the same. I mean, we've had people in there decorating for the last 2-3 weeks, decorating that hall, and it's absolutely beautiful inside. I think I'm looking forward to seeing you guys there and seeing an opportunity to look around and see what we've come up with this year. Something
That's
different.
Awesome. Right. And there are so many trees
to
not only look at, Randy, but some people may go home with them.
Yes.
Yeah. And for folks who don't know, can you explain how that works?
Sure, absolutely. When you get there, you get raffle tickets, and you pretty much walk around. We have 59 trees this year, some on their two different floors, so some on the first floor. With COVID, we separated them out just to give you more ample room to walk around. You know, a lot of people come with their strollers, their families, their kids, and everything was on 60 trees on one floor. It was just too jam-packed. So we separated them out with COVID just to give everyone some more space, more viewing space, and people roam around. And in front of each tree is this long candy cane PVC pipe. You put the tickets that you really like of the tree and the gifts. And by the end of the week, we tally all up. We pick one ticket from each tree, and the winner of that ticket gets a phone call Saturday night, and they come up Sunday, and they get the whole tree, all the decorations, and everything underneath it. So
I'm still waiting for my phone call.
Love it.
You have to wait till next week because it's just starting.
Oh, you already drew last year's?
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay.
They left.
Sorry, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's okay. I was hopeful this whole time.
Yeah.
You got something already set up yesterday. The people were coming in, putting their trees in, so it's starting to come together real good.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
It's one of my favorite parts of the event. It's just looking at all the trees. You not only get like the tree, but you get everything under the tree as well.
Yeah.
It's very, and you have sponsors for those trees.
Yeah, usually they're all local Maine businesses, local to this area, most of them. And they could be a cleaning service, a daycare, Hammond Lumber, you know, some big ones. So they all... And they come back year after year after year. They love it. They kind of solidify their spot.
Nice.
Just in the last month, we've had 10 additional people apply to be tree sponsors.
Wow.
We thought we had got rid of our list, our backlog of tree sponsors requests. And then all of a sudden, we talked about the festival, and everybody's like, we need to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. We want to do that, too.
Yeah. And we're actually getting people now out of Portland applying to be sponsors here.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of cool.
I mean, I know you said that there's people who have emulated this
event before, but I think one of the things that you have that makes it super unique is the building itself.
Yes, absolutely.
It's such a gorgeous location. Yeah. It's a beautiful building. Yeah. It has so much character and history to it. That
it does.
It's like walking into some kind of magical winter wonderland when you walk in. So.
Yeah, I mean, people come from all over and stop by and look at that, and they're like, they can't believe where they are. Mm-hmm. They don't ever associate a building like that and its architecture and its murals inside with something that you would see in Maine, much less Lewiston, Maine, you know.
We start talking to people, and we're like, we're Cora Shriners. They're like, oh, what's that? And we're like, Festival of Trees? Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah. That's what
we
they know.
We do more than that, though.
Yeah.
We have other stuff we do. Yeah, of course.
People know us from that. A lot of people.
So the festival begins on Friday.
It does.
And it runs through November 29th. That is a Saturday. And the only day you're closed is for Thanksgiving.
Correct.
People have plenty of opportunities to go check out the trees. Do you have room for more trees?
No.
No. You're maxed out.
Those folks will have to wait till next year.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no additional trees. We lock it down at 60. We're at 59, and we won't add trees at this point.
Yeah.
It's just the plan goes the way it is. So.
Yeah. Admission is super affordable. It's only $6 for adults, and kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a paying adult. And the tree raffle tickets, you get 10 tickets for $5.
Yeah. That's a deal.
You can't beat that.
No.
It's 50 cents.
50 cents.
Okay. Right. Amazing.
Come on, people.
And you could actually walk out with a tree that's probably valued at around $6,000-$7,000.
Yeah. There's some amazing prizes under
it. It is. It's a, you know, and that's what makes it. And then people will... Some people who win actually take this so much on some of those trees, they actually share it with people. So
yeah.
It's kind of
cool. The last couple of years I've put in for trees that I know our family has no need for, but that I would donate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something with lots of toys or bicycles or things. Like, our kids are grown. We don't need that stuff. But it's a nice idea to think you could win that and give it away.
Yes.
But I think one of the things that's very important about our festival is that we actually have a lot of community support.
Mm.
And Central Maine Healthcare is one of those organizations that's been around with us for many, many years on other things, not just the festival. We used to host events there. They would have a big gala there. The Dempsey, when it first started, used to actually have their events there. And they've been part of this process of what happens at Cora Shrine for many years, and they're involved with us with the Festival of Trees. And it's really a community event. It really is. And they're a great partner to work with us on that.
I think the joy spreads to us in the hospital, too. Mm. And our tree is sponsored by our labor and delivery team. So our nurses kind of head up that and get the donations from all over the hospital. We make a diaper tree and have a car seat and all the things that you would need for a baby.
Mm, all the expensive things.
All the expensive things. And everybody really gets into it. And the team will be up decorating the tree, the diaper tree, later this week. And
that's cool.
It's fun. And I think it just marks the beginning of the holiday season, so everybody really gets into it.
Yeah.
It's really a great way to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And you see the one-upmanship, too. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's a good idea. People start to put gift cards and other things on their trees and really kind of entice the lottery tickets coming in, or the raffle tickets. Right. Yeah.
They're just an example of what we have in this community to make this event a success. This event started out with just a group of Shriners getting together and putting together trees. This year we'll be down to two groups that are left from the original people that were Shriners only. So we have just two units of clubs left that are doing that. So of the original trees that we started with, they're all gone now. They're all doing other things and doing great things in the community, raising money to support Shriners Children's and other activities that Shriners support. But the reality is that, you know, the community has stepped up and big time stepped up. And it's, you know, we get requests from all over the United States to find out how did you guys pull this off. We have people coming from Montreal this year to learn about how to do this. They're actually going to use it, as from what I understand, to raise money for Shriners Children's in Montreal.
Wow.
So they're coming to do a different twist. We use this as our fraternal fundraiser, which supports our building. But they're going to be taking it back to that area to try to raise money for their hospital. And if they, Montreal's a big area, and they, if they do it right, they could really do very, very well financially with raising money using this model. You know, it's not, you know, there's no secret. We give it to those folks who want it like that.
You've gone international.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we actually have a, so in Anna, which is in Bangor, we actually have a Canadian-American, because some of our Shriners are on this side of the border and Canadian ones are on the other. And so we do a joint Festival
cool.
Trees in Northern Maine.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's kind of cool how they do it. But we've had people here from Texas, from Nebraska, Milwaukee. It's just very, very interesting how this is expanded. Shriners International uses this as a opportunity for Shriners to actually make money to support their causes.
Rebecca, what does it mean to you personally to work for an organization that sees such value in the partnership with the Cora?
I mean, community is what's all about, really. I'm a pediatrician, so I went into that field really to help kids and families and thrive, and we can't do that without the support of our communities. So it's been really fun to be involved with the Shrine. I run into Bernie now everywhere. We were all the different community events in Lewiston at the Balloon Festival, and we're at Touch a Truck and all these different things for the kids. And there's Bernie. Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, it's fun to have that relationship, and it just builds upon itself. And if we can support the Shriner clinics in any way, we do that. And you know, building those relationships really help for the betterment of who it's for the kids and their families. So, it is really meaningful.
So when you're there, when you're at the Festival of Trees, are you kind of hanging back and looking at the CMMC tree and watching people's reactions to it?
No, mostly it's just such a beautiful event. I mean, last year I came in one of the, you know, when we were one of the very first mornings before it had opened up to do some of the press, and I was just breathtaking. It's just so beautiful, and it was quiet, so just the lights everywhere, and then there's the Grinch in the bathtub in the corner being a rascal. Yeah. But it is a magical place. You really are transported, and really excited to bring my kids this year.
Fun.
And there, it's just such a, it's really meaning, you know, it's just an impactful event visually. It's beautiful, and it's so, and to have the underlying reason for it to be so wholesome and good. You know, you're really helping families to get care for their kid that may have had something they're born with, or a burn or an injury, to be able to have access to free or discounted care is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Randy, are the Kids Corner and the Food Court and the Craft Fair coming back this year?
Everything's all coming back. It's going to look pretty much the same as last year. We changed it a little bit after some of the setup. We used to have the Kids Corner, we call it the Fish Pond, that was kind of by the stage, kind of by the pictures, and it kind of created a log jam, so we moved it a little bit towards the back, and it's actually worked out real well. She mentioned it. He's coming back, the Grinch. So
I got my picture taken with him last year.
Be there. Santa will be there. Mrs. Claus. The crafters will be downstairs. Food court will be open. So it'll be a good time. Yeah. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
The only thing with the Grinch is he's going to be in a chair this year. He's got a recliner he's found.
Yeah.
Did he find it at the dump?
I don't know. But he does have a green light. And so if the green light is on, it means he's in the building. That's how the signal.
Like a bat signal?
Yeah.
A bad signal?
And then, but if he also has things to cover his eyes, so if he's sleeping, it says, please don't bother me.
Oh, my goodness.
I need some of those.
Sleep mask.
You need that, yeah.
The outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then the other piece we've added this year is we've actually bought a suit for a person. So we're going to have a little elf on the shelf running around.
Fun.
And a little elf will have little things he can hand out to people that are good.
Okay.
You know, but they got to spot him.
Oh, yeah. Sneaky.
And it's an adult.
Dress as an adult. I mean, I have a 3-year-old I can loan you. I think you'd do a good job.
Well, we have suits for 3-year-olds, but this one we needed an adult suit for. It's a new twist. It may not last, but it may.
It's always fun to try.
We thought the Grinch would be a passing phase, but that's not happening.
Oh, he's too likable.
He's so good.
He's very good at it.
Oh, my God.
Last year, one of the trees had a, or I think it was a tree, had a toilet, like a brand new toilet, one of the plumbing sponsors.
Yeah.
And so where was the Grinch? Like literally on the TV news, on the toilet, reading his magazine.
Yeah,
it was hilarious. It was so funny, so unexpected.
Yeah, he'll jump into Santa's seat when Santa's not sitting there and sprawl out.
Yeah,
sacrilegious.
He is a excellent person to do it.
He's a fan favorite.
It's definitely.
He's a lot of fun.
Rascal.
As long as we keep him under control.
That's right. Could be tough.
Yeah.
JC, have you ever been?
I have.
Yeah? What do you think?
I used to go every year when I was younger. I haven't been in a couple of years, but I always loved going.
I was thinking we should try to enter a Lydia Media tree one of these years, and we'll have Lydia sit under it, but we'll let people know that you don't get her if you win. She will attract a lot of attention.
Dogs are popular.
Yeah. We should run that by Pam.
I think Lydia would love it.
I think she would too. Like, so many people petting me.
Yeah.
It's the best. Bernie, you wanted to talk about the Shriners Clinics.
Yeah, so probably for the last year or so, we've been working on establishing clinics here locally for children to be able to come in and be seen. Shriners International, our official philanthropy for Shriners here is our Shriners Children's. And most people are familiar with Boston's and what used to be Springfield is now called Shriners New England, but it's in Springfield still. And they're locations that have been around in Springfield. Randy's on the board there. They just celebrated their 100th anniversary. So they've been around for a long time and working with many kids and many families. And we still, when we're out in the community, will hear stories about a person they knew or sometimes the person themselves went to Shriners Children's and received services and credit us for marvelous work, including being able to walk and move and things like that, which is very, very rewarding. But one of the things that we had been talking about was connecting our local area here with our Shriners hospitals. And it's not just limited to those two locations, but all of our hospitals. And so we created this process where we started meeting with our people. We've had meetings with Central Maine Healthcare. We've had meetings with we're just at the Maine School Nurses Association. We have plans to go to the Maine Pediatric Association's meetings in March. So we're really trying to spread the word about what our hospitals do.
Yeah.
It used to be years ago that the only way a child was treated at our hospitals is they actually knew a Shriner, and they had to sign a piece of paper to say, I'm sponsoring this kid. Well, with HIPAA, that doesn't happen anymore. But it is a new way of doing things. Shriners International is backing this. The hospitals are backing this because we need to be talking about what we do and the excellent work that we do and the research we do. And I think Randy could talk a little bit about what's going on at Springfield and some of the work that they're doing over there and folks like that. And then
it just gets back to community, you know, trying to serve our community. We've been in this community well over 100 years, Core Shrine, and we developed this philanthropy of Shriners Children's, and it all started with polio. It all started with seeing kids, you know, needing care, and they started popping up hospitals left and right, and we just started growing with the care we provide. Shriners Children's New England, I mean, they're seeing probably per month a little bit over 2,000 people, kids, and then they're doing, of those 2,000, 300-ish are new patients every month. So they're really ripping through, and we're developing new things. They're doing cranial helmets for kids now, which is a decent need. So we're in Springfield, and a lot of our population is Western Mass, but we do have pockets, heat maps that show we're getting kids from Maine. And actually, April next year, we're looking at, we're partnering with a orthopedic surgeon. a building up in Bangor, Northern Lights, and we're going to have a pediatric orthopedic surgeon who is part of Shriners Children's, who's going to be working up in Bangor, Northern Lights. So the brand is coming to Maine, and we just want to expose people to it more, expose people to our care, because people see the Shriners as paraders. They're like, oh, we remember you from the parade or the festival. And we got a statue out front of our building, and it's a Shriner holding a child. And that is kind of connecting us to the care we provide. So it's coming to Maine, and we just want to get the exposure out there. And we want to really expose kids. So we've been having this clinic. We started in September. We do it the first Saturday of every month, about 9 to 1 is typically what we do. And kids can just pop in, or they can make an appointment from our website. And they pop in, and we have some type of medical professional there. We have a nurse there and a few Shriners that are helping out, Shrine ladies. And they come in and they say, hey, my kid has this going on, or this is a little different. And the doctor will kind of treat them and see if this is a condition that we treat. And we'll send them a referral down to our medical network to see. It's kind of the first step so they don't have to travel. Right. Mm-hmm. So they can get stuff locally, and we're just helping our community. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good. We've seen a couple kids each time already. And so I think the people here locally, so my daughter is in the Shriners Children's Network. She goes to Philadelphia. And the people we're seeing kind of have the same story that we have, is you can get care here, and the care here typically will maintain you, but we want to just kind of advance them a little bit. Maybe we can improve their quality of life just a little bit more. Some doctors here, we've heard a story, and this is down in Springfield, but the PCP is like, I don't know, this kid walks funny. He's just a little wonky was the word, and I just can't get it out of my head. He's just a little wonky. So they go to Shriners Children's for a second opinion, and they find out, and it's a simple thing, but in his ankle, with growth with kids, with pediatrics, cartilage turns to bone, and sometimes it turns to bone in the wrong places, and it was in his ankle. There was a little bone spur, so to speak, where cartilage turned to bone, and he couldn't walk appropriately in the joint. They just went in and chipped it out, but the local, sometimes, especially in Maine, you get local doctors who just aren't as educated about some of these conditions that we treat, and so they don't, the advanced care, unfortunately, isn't really in Maine. So they get maintained here, but I think we provide some amazing care, and because we specialize in a few things. We don't do everything, but we specialize in some major things, and we do it well.
We refer to you guys right from the hospital a lot. So, yeah, major burns, we send them right down to Boston at Shriners. And then in our clinics, too, we refer directly. So that's where Bernie's been really helpful in educating our providers and docs to get kids care, like you said. Just having that specialized care and really helpful in certain orthopedic or other congenital conditions. They're so rare that it's impossible to have a specialist in locally,
right?
Everywhere. It's just there's not, you'd see one patient.
And pediatrics is so different.
Yeah, and so having that resource and being able to send these families and take off some of the financial load is just so huge. And so we totally back that and see the need and collaborate.
Is that a key piece of it too, is the financial part of it?
So we notice that a lot. The issue is a lot of people don't want to travel, and a lot of people don't have money to take a day off from work and travel and go to some of these places. So they see local doctors. But the actual Cora Shrine, we have a transportation fund, and we reimburse people for travel, for hotel stays if they need to stay, flights if they're going to outside, like Chicago. My daughter goes to Philly, like I said. So we reimburse. So we don't want to be any barriers. Mm. We don't want any burdens on the family. We want them to receive. And that's why we parade. We parade to raise this money to help the local kids in different ways, or to give to the hospital so they can continue to provide care to kids who may not be able to afford it or may not have insurance.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, I think, and one of the things that we do, as probably most people know, is we do the Maine Shrine Lobster Bowl, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And $125,000 this year was raised from the state of Maine.
Wow,
that's incredible.
You know, it's just a phenomenal game, first of all. It's a great opportunity for young people to connect with something beyond high school and to make friends, and against sometimes people that they played against that they did not get along with. So it's a great opportunity for that, but it's a huge success. And we're in the top probably 4 or 5 Shrine centers that raise that kind of money. It just goes to show the support we have in this community for the Core Shrine and what we do. But it goes back to connecting. You know, that's why we're working with the hospital. That's why we're working with the school nurses. That's why we're reaching out to these groups, because these are the people that are getting asked the questions. Hey, I have a child who is doing this. What do you think? But they may not be able to tell them, but they might be able to say, well, you know, just send them down to the clinic in Lewiston and see if they can be looked at. And if they think it's appropriate, they'll make a referral. And like Randy said, if they can't afford it, it's regardless of ability to pay. If they don't pay it, they don't pay it. We have an endowment that can take care of it. So,
one thing I like to say, I like to tell people, we're great with our communities. Shrinish Children's is great with their communities in Massachusetts and Philly and stuff. Their kids in Boston who go to Shrinish Children's Boston for burns from Ukraine, from Gaza, they're coming from war territories, and they're being treated because we're the best in the world, quite honestly. So, and they're seeing that. They're seeing that, and they're shipping them over. And there's shrine centers, like there's one in Massachusetts that does a lot of Airbuses, we call it, but it's the pediatric, pretty much an ambulance in the air, and they're footing the bill for these kids to come over. So the shrines are all about helping the kids in any way we can to get them the best care.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And it wouldn't be happening if we didn't have Core Shrine.
That's right.
And we need the Core Shrine building, and this is where the money goes for the Festival Trees. Because if we don't have a place to meet and talk and have fun.
And plan. And
fellowship. Mm-hmm. Those are all things that we believe in. Fun, fellowship, and our philanthropy.
Yep.
So if we, at the end of the day, keep those in mind. Work with our community partners like Central Maine Healthcare. I mean, this is what's going to drive, I think, for children, positive things, positive outcomes. Because we treat a lot of things beyond just broken bones and dislocated bones and burns and things like that.
Yep.
There's a lot of things, and we encourage people to go visit our website and take a look at what we actually can do.
And that website is corashriners.org. Before we get on to our final segment, I wanted to let folks know who may not be familiar with the Festival of Trees. It's not festival. It's not F-E-S. It's festival.
Fez.
F-E-Z. I'll throw this out to Randy or Bernie. What is the significance of the Fez?
The Fez came from Morocco. It's kind of like an Arabian theme. And the guys who started this 150 years ago, one of the initial guys kind of came, he had a trip overseas in Arabia, and he liked the fez, he liked the camels, he liked just that the desert, the hot sands and stuff, and that's the theme that we kind of took on. So the Moroccan fez is really not worn around anywhere except Morocco, so we stand out.
Yeah,
you know, we always say anyone could wear a ball cap, not anyone could wear a fez, and the fez is just very unique for our culture out here.
Take some confidence to pull off a fez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too
much forehead. Yeah.
Yeah. You make it look good. Yeah.
I know a lot of people think, well, yeah, but it's just a guy thing, right? It's just a guy thing. We have lady shriners who wear white fezes.
Yeah.
In the United States. And we have a local group called AROC, which is made up of ladies who are connected to shriners or masons. And they're sole purpose of existence is to raise money for Shriners Children's.
Yeah. That's cool.
So that's their only.
Wow.
And it's a local group, and they've been around since the 1940s at Cora.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're not quite as old as we are, but they've been around a long time.
Nice.
And there's a lot of things that spin off from Shriners and great Masons. Stuff.
Any parting thoughts from anyone before we move on to our final segment?
Yeah, I just want to thank
I
just want to thank Rebecca for joining us and being part of this.
It's been
fun, and she's a good sport. She gets up bright and early on that first Saturday last year. She's like, are you kidding, 6:45? I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. That's when it starts.
Oh,
so we're starting early with WMTW this Saturday, too, and, I am suspecting that someone from Central Maine Healthcare is going to be there to join us. And
we have Alita Joy, who's our chief of midwifery. So she does a lot of the baby deliveries, and she'll be on the news on Saturday to kick it all off. So
cool.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah.
And this is what it's all about. It's about relationships with the hospitals, with the community.
Yeah,
this is. I think that's what I think. Randy and I would say it that way, right? It's about relationships.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting Lydia's Lunch Bunch be part of your media tour.
Yeah.
we certainly appreciate it, and we will do whatever we can to spread the word.
Right.
Thank you.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, now it's time for our final segment, which is called Three Random Questions. And we're going to ask the three of you questions that have nothing to do with the Festival of Trees or the clinics or anything. These are just fun questions to get to know you a little better as members of our community. And we'll start with Randy, and we'll work our way around. Randy, what is your favorite weekend activity?
Ooh. Hiking.
Solo or with the
Going with the family. Just going out and kind of... So I've noticed when you go outside, you had headphones, you do it for exercise, you stop being present in nature. You stop enjoying the birds chirping and the leaves crunching under your feet. And going outside doing that, I don't do it a ton, but when I do go out, it's just kind of... fulfilling.
Yeah.
You know, it brings you back to the world and then just being present for once.
Especially if you're with your family.
You're
present with them as well.
Yes.
And makes a world of difference. You're not sitting around, everyone's looking at their phones.
Looking at their phones, talking, texting each other in the other room.
Right, exactly. Rebecca, favorite weekend activity?
Oh, man, we're a big outdoors family as well. We have three kids, 9, 6, and 3. So getting out of the house, doing what Randy's saying, getting out, doing some hiking is kind of my favorite too. But we try to do kind of family weekends, so anything from just charades in the house or hopefully the Festival on the Trees coming up this week. Just doing fun family stuff, going to the movies occasionally, stuff like that.
Making memories.
Yeah. Experiences. Yeah.
I like to walk and I work out at the gym, but when I want to go on the weekends, I'm going to go on my ATV ride.
Ah.
Outside.
ATV rider.
You got a lot of trails in your mind.
Yeah. So, you know, we go up to Rangeley.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Like that. So we have friends up there, and we have trails up there that we do. And it's just a fun way to get away and do things as a family, you know, or with just a bunch of people that you know. That's what I
Yeah, it's like the snowmobile community, right?
Yeah, except it's warmer.
It's warmer, exactly. Are you still doing backflips on that thing, or did you give that up? Not intentionally,
not
right?
Intentional.
Gotcha.
What is the weirdest food combination that you love that other people think is odd?
My husband always teases me because I'm the one that likes everything on my sandwiches, like the dogwood sandwich, but I always put, I don't know if this is weird, I put jam before I put my, if I have making an egg and cheese sandwich, I put raspberry jam and then egg and cheese. Is that weird? I don't know.
It sounds kind of good.
It's delicious. It's like the sweet and savory.
Yeah. It's the first I hear of it.
Yeah.
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 There you go.
Might have to try it.
My daughter likes it. She does the same thing now. A little avocado on there too.
Bernie, what do you got?
So what are you asking here about food?
Weird food combinations, right?
Weird food combinations. I am just not fussy, so whatever gets put in front of me, I tend to eat. But food is necessary.
Yeah.
In my world, it's not. You know,
I don't sound like anyone you know, Sarah. that's how I view it as well.
Yeah, like okay, you know, as long as it tastes good, I'm fine with it. But as far as weird food. I'm going to dodge that question.
Yeah, all right.
He's pleading the fifth.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything great because, I mean, I started back as a kid where nothing in the plate touched.
Ah.
And now it can touch because now food is a resource. You know, once you you fly enough, and this is back in the day, they don't do it much, but I flew for high school for like a overseas trip, and then you start eating airplane food. So you stop losing the fussiness. Oh, but man. I'm kind of like a Elvis fan, so, you know, I do not grilled peanut butter, but peanut butter and banana, or grilled peanut butter sandwiches instead of a grilled cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't mix things up. I keep it plain.
Yeah.
My dad would have a steak and salt. That's about it. You know, nothing special. So,
yeah, keep it simple. All right, Sarah, what do you got?
You start with Bernie this time, or was it Rebecca? Yep. All right, Bernie, would you rather have no pinky fingers or no pinky toes?
The toes can go.
Okay. Why? Because they get stubbed on stuff?
No, I don't. Nobody sees them.
Oh.
But it would throw off your balance.
Wouldn't it?
Rebecca is looking at her hands.
Yeah.
Try to imagine which is worse. I think I'd probably get rid of the toes too.
Yeah.
But your balance would have to get lined up again, but I think I could learn that.
Mm.
Keep the hands.
What do you think?
I'll go with the hand.
Yeah,
just the pinkies.
I know a guy who broke his pinky toe once, and he had huge trouble for a while. It really hurt him, and it really bothered with his balance and stuff. So I think I could do grip without.
You don't need those pinkies.
No. All right.
Try it. You'd be like a cartoon character, they all have four fingers.
That's true.
They get by.
They'll blend in.
That's right.
No one will notice.
Harder to count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Odd numbers. Yeah.
Sorry, you'd have to take your shoes off.
Yeah. Yep.
The whole
That's
thing.
A good question. I'm not sure. Yeah. Neither.
Yeah, I don't want
neither.
I'm keeping everything.
That's a fine answer as well.
Or how about one of each?
Oh. That would be weird too, yeah.
Bernie, Randy, and Rebecca, thank you so much for your time today and all the great work you're doing in our community. So appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat.
And I will say I have bitten my cat.